We will be mainly in Luke 21, 34 through 36 today. This is a very interesting part of the end of the Olivet Discourse. Matthew 24, 36 through 44 talks about it, but it's the literal of what we're going to talk about. Mark 13, 32 through 37 does the same, but they are small, literal pictures of what Luke is going to finish with. And what Luke is going to finish with is our directive. He's going to give us the direct command, what we're supposed to be doing in this time. Whereas the other ones, Jesus is describing things that happened in the Old Testament that points to what we're supposed to be doing today. All right? So I know we're going to get to it. We're going to unpack it. But so if we go over, and I'm going to read this because Matthew 24, because of the way he brings the literal so that we can get to the direct. Matthew 24, 36 through 44 says, no one knows the day or hour, all right? So what we have to do is we look at this, and if we go up above just a couple verses, we get to the headlines on the paragraphs, and it says the Great Tribulation. Now that has happened. The Great Tribulation has happened. The coming of the Son of Man, okay? The sun is darkened in the moon. And then we get into something really interesting because we get into the parable of the fig tree. And we're sitting here looking at it, and it says, well, the Son of Man's here. Why is he going to the parable of the fig tree? That's because he's going back to right before the coming of the Son of Man. And this is what's going to happen. And the importance is understanding and knowing when he's talking about this. It's after the tribulation, before the coming of the Son of Man. And the parable of the fig tree is when you see the leaves come and it's tender, you know that summer's coming. Watch for these signs. But of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating, drinking, marrying, and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark, and did not know until the flood came and took them all away, so also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then two men will be in the field, one will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding at the mill, one will be taken and the other left. Watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. So do you understand what I'm talking about with the literal, the picture? He's saying, as in the days of Noah, he said, they were doing this and this and this, and it wasn't inherently evil. Now, we know from Genesis chapter 6 that the thoughts of man's heart was inherently evil the whole time. So what were they doing that Jesus is speaking of here? He's speaking that they were not watching for eternity. They were caught up with here. Now, when we get to Luke 21, you're going to see this because Luke's going to bring it out in just a short little sentence. All right? So, this be ready for the coming of the Son of Man. Then he warns that the flood came and they did not know until it took them all away. All right. So, just that's a brief warm up. Now, back to Luke 21. 34 through 36 says this, but take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and the cares of this life, and that day come on you unexpectedly. For it will come as a snare on all those who dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch therefore and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. So the first part in 34, he says, take heed to yourselves. We all understand what that means, right? Do we understand? We have to look at ourselves. This life is based on who we are inside now. We have all kinds of things going on in our hearts, and we need to be examining ourselves, right? This is what he's talking about. Take a good look at yourself, because you can get carried away easily. We must be prepared for his appearing or our exit. That's what it's saying. Taking heed to yourself is getting ready. All right? 1 Corinthians 10:12 says, therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed, lest he fall. There's all kinds of warnings in the Bible. Matthew 24:4, and Jesus answered and said to them, take heed that no one deceives you. Cults and people who say they know and they don't. Science and evolution. Now we have aliens all over the place. Darkness is growing. You can't trust what's going on outside these doors. You must be in his word to understand what is happening. Matthew 6:1 talks about practicing righteousness before men. That's when you're living the life here, but then Monday morning, you're not the same person. And Tuesday morning, and Wednesday. You want to practice righteousness 24/7. Hebrews 2:1 talks about drifting away. Stay attached. Stay attached. You want to be here with your family. When your family calls and they haven't seen you in a while, that's what they're concerned with. Are you drifting away? Is it possible for anybody in here to drift away? It's possible for all of us to drift away. Some of us, it's happened too, and we've returned because we ran into people who said, hey, what's going on? Malachi 2:16 says, for the Lord God of Israel, he hates divorce, for it covers one's garment with violence, says the Lord of hosts. Therefore, take heed to your spirit that you do not deal treacherously. Also, the greed and bitterness builds up in our hearts. God is not concerned about just what's on the inside. He also is concerned about how we treat others, because it's as our heart is how we'll treat other people. Lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and the cares of this life. How's our hearts weighed down? Our hearts can be weighed down by what? Burdening. It can be burdened with just overwork. You can be grieved. So much stuff is going wrong. And that grieving, it can build up and it can take you away. Disappointment is another one. Oh, I was expecting to get this and I didn't get this. I wanted this, but it didn't work out that way. Discouragement is another one. We have to be careful how we talk to each other. We want to build each other up. Yeah, we warn people, but we also use discernment and unbelief. These are five things that I thought of that just can weigh a heart down. Carousing is one of the words used. The King James Version was very interesting. Surfeiting. And then the other was dissipation. These three words are used in different versions of that. And I think it's important because I don't know what the Greek word is, but I don't speak Greek anyways. So the important part is when I looked at all the different versions, you see, carousing is the activity of drinking alcohol and enjoying oneself in a noisy way. This is partying, right? You have the party crowd. They're going out, they're loud, they're noisy, and they're partying, they're drinking into excess. Overcharged with surfeiting is what the King James Version uses, and it says to cause someone to desire no more of something as a result of having consumed or done it to excess. All right? The example is and man, you'll have an easy time with this. The sentence example in it is, I am surfeited with shopping. I've been here for 12 minutes, Denise. I've had enough, you know? This is where we get it. You're overdone with it. You've had too much. Now, birds of a feather flock together, right? So what's he saying when someone is pushing you to consume into excess? Watch your company. Watch the company you keep. And dissipation is behavior that involves spending too much time enjoying physical pleasures and harmful activities such as drinking a lot of alcohol. Once again, the partying lifestyle, but this one actually goes in the definition and puts in physical pleasures as well. Not just drinking, this one. That one adds in. So when you put all three of those words together, what do you get? You get partying, you get your company that will push you over the edge, and you'll hang out, and you'll be drinking. They'll be like, here, have some more, and keep going, right? And then the dissipation is whenever it's alcohol mixed with the physical pleasures. See, these three words, when you add them together, it builds that up then, that carousing word, and now you get a full meaning of what it says. And then drunkenness is pretty much self-explanatory. But it does have an interesting definition. Intoxication, inebriation, a state in which a person is overwhelmed or overpowered with spirituous liquors, so that his reason is disordered and he reels or staggers in walking. Drunkenness renders some persons stupid, others gay, others sullen, which means gloomy, and others furious. You see, that alcohol allows those emotions to come out from deep in your heart where you might be reserved before and you might be a person hiding them, but the alcohol will bring them out. The cares of this life. Now, this is why I went into, as in the days of Noah. The cares of this life is what was happening to them. When we read the scripture, it says they were given in marriage, they were being married, they were eating and drinking. And in Luke, when he describes it in Luke chapter 17, he even goes as far as they were building and planting. You see the picture? The cares of this life is the life we're living. It's the stuff we're doing here. And you can get caught up into it and not think about that day. This is what Jesus is saying. That's why I read that, so that picture is in our minds. Don't get carried away with the business of this life. Because why? You're not going to be here for it anyways. And eventually, God's going to burn it all up. Now, that doesn't mean we don't work and we just sit there. That's the point. But don't get carried away with it. See, children, schools, jobs, things that happened in the past, businessmen making the next deal or salespeople, parents, retirement, and the list goes on and on. These things are not inherently evil in themselves, but they can take us away from what is important. And that's being ready for Jesus. Matthew 24, 37, like I said, but as in the days of Noah. Jesus doesn't even speak on his sinful actions. He's talking about everyday life. And this is where most of America could be living today. Living day to day. Living life, not concerned with what is to come. Stuck in the temporal, not thinking of entering the eternal. And that day come on you unexpectedly. That day we speak of is an appointed time. Mark 13, 33 says, take heed, watch and pray, for you do not know when the time is. Men think they always have time, and they'll get around to it. Now we have tracks downstairs, they're round to it, and they work well. Because you can hand them, and then they start thinking, yeah, I always say get around to it. Well, now you have it, right? And then you can explain to them the importance of not waiting. Because here's some things that I come up with that I thought about. This is the beginning of September. What happened 21 years ago next week? September 11th, exactly. People were hitting the South Tower by a Boeing 767 while they were working their computers at work at 8:45 a.m. Do you really think they had time to get right with the Lord when they just looked out the window and there's the front of a plane? No. Must be ready. What if a nuclear missile was launched and you were at a concert in Pittsburgh? Did you ever look to see the damage one warhead can do now? It's not the same as World War II. It would level downtown Pittsburgh, all of it. There's a thing called a widowmaker. And that's a heart attack. Listen to the survival rate. It's 12% out of the hospital. You got a 12% shot of surviving that. And guess what? It doubles when you get to the hospital. If you're in the hospital, it's up to 25%. So you don't have much of a chance even in the hospital. These are things we don't think about. Car crashes. Accidental injuries are the number four killer in the world. Only one that passed it was just recently was COVID. So first you have heart disease, cancer, and all these things, and then COVID, and then accidental falls. If people are going to wait on their deathbed to come to the Lord, and they fall down the steps and die, do you really think they had a chance while they were falling to get it out, to understand? Probably not. And they're not even thinking of that. They're trying to think of how they can break their fall. These things we must be ready for, because that day is going to come unexpectedly. Luke 21:35 describes it. He says, "For it will come as a snare to all those who dwell on the whole face of the earth." The day is described as a trap or a snare. Do you know what a snare is? A snare is a trap where usually they catch small animals, and it's got a noose, and it goes around their neck. And then what they do is they try to get away, and the noose gets tighter and tighter. That's a snare. The bait is the things of this life and the cares of this life. How about your concerns for family and friends? Money, your country, sensuality. These are all bait used to snare the prey. There is no race or creed that escapes. Solomon wrote this in Ecclesiastes 9:12. "For man also does not know his time, like fish taken in a cruel net, like birds caught in a snare. So the sons of men are snared in an evil time when it falls suddenly upon them." This is exactly what Solomon's talking about. You don't know. So far, we have examined yourself. Take heed to yourself. Don't become weighed down. Don't let that day come unexpectedly. Don't get lost in the cares of this life as in the days of Noah. Finally, because it will trap and it can and it will snare you and you'll be caught. Why? We have to keep ourselves on a straight path and not thinking that we are great. Don't let pride creep in. It's hard to see, and deception is what our hearts love. We have tracks downstairs also. They're designed to trick people. Math questions, just different crazy questions. It shows how easily we're deceived. First Corinthians 10:12, "Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall." We can think we're okay on judgment day and be deceived. We can hide sin, but he will know on judgment day, and it will no longer be a secret. So we have all this stuff. We have all the bad info, the things that can happen to us. But what now? How do we avoid that? That's what he does in the second, in the last verse. Luke 21:36 says, "Watch therefore and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and stand before the Son of Man." Nehemiah 4:7 writes this, "Now it happened when Sanballat, Tobiah, and the Arabs and the Ammonites and the Ashdodites heard that the walls of Jerusalem were being restored and the gaps were beginning to be closed, that they became very angry. And all of them conspired together to come and attack Jerusalem and create confusion. Nevertheless, we made our prayer to God, and because of them, we set a watch against them day and night." That last verse, "Nevertheless, we made our prayer to God and then set up the watch." We don't know what's coming next, but who does? God. He knows everything that's going to happen to us. So what do? Not talk to him about it? No. We talk to him. And when we get to watching, watching does not mean standing there looking up in the sky. That is not what it means. It means to keep awake and stay awake in expectation of the Lord's coming. That's what it means. Keep awake, stay awake. Keep your eyes focused, that you may be in a right frame to receive him and build him welcome. That's watching. We do not want to be compromised. Compromise is to behave in a way that is not honest by doing things that do not agree with what you previously believed or tried to achieve. The Bible also calls it sober-minded, or watchful, or not weighed down. That's what sober-minded is. Read this from this article. I read this article, and it was awesome. The sober-minded are not lukewarm, unimaginative, downcast, and uninspiring. They are serious about serious things, about God, about sin, about holiness, and about joy. But they're also humble and self-aware enough to not take themselves too seriously, to admit when they're wrong, to focus on the needs and interests of others, to ask for help and learn from the wise, to regularly smile and laugh, because they are so strangely humble, stable, and Godward. The sober-minded stand out and inspire confidence, especially in societies on fire. Does this describe you? Are you stable? Are you ready? You take God seriously. You take holiness seriously. I have a lot I work with, and they don't take holiness seriously, and they claim to be a Christian. And I try to tell them that's not how it works. Because when God changes you from the inside, He changes you. And your outside changes automatically, because the inside is what He changes. That's what He works on. You should be serious about God, about holiness. Because if you're watching for Him, you don't want to be found compromised when He enters and knocks on the door. You want to be found ready. Pray always. This is our communion with God. This is made possible by Jesus at the cross. We can draw near. No longer all the work, as Pastor Jake so clearly told us, it is finished and the separation is over. The veil is torn. We go right to God through the blood of His Son. The high priest is at the right hand of the Father. There's no veil. We have constant access. How often we miss the opportunity to seek His face and have audience with the God of all creation, to have His wisdom, to have His heart of compassion, to have His love, even for our enemies. Matthew Henry describes watch and pray like this. Watch therefore and pray always. These must go together. Those that would escape the wrath to come and make sure of the joys to come must watch and pray, and must do so always, must make it the constant business of their lives. Our lives are to be watching and praying. Why? So that we have communion. Remember what David said, search my heart, see if there is any wicked way in me. That you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass. Now, when I read that first part, remember I told you the tribulation is over. This goes out to Friday night Bible study. If you're studying the tribulation, this is already done whenever we get to this point. So the angels going out that he described in this, they're not going out to take the elect. They're going out to take the elect, bring him to Jesus, but the rapture is done. It's already over. This is something different. The ones who are left are not being taken to Jesus. The angels are going to come to get them, take them to Christ. The others are going to face that judgment. You see the snare, the trap? Counted worthy sounds like works. See, this is not works. Works have been made for you, but first you have to be bought by the cross, the blood of Jesus, your faith and trust in Christ. That makes you worthy for heaven. That makes you worthy. Your good works aren't going to do it because you don't have any. When you listen to Colossians 1:10, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. See, it talks about good works, and then He says, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power for all patience and long-suffering, given thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of inheritance of the saints in light. You see, the works are done. They are made by the Lord for you after salvation. You can't buy this, Judge. And then Luke 20, 35 says, but those who are counted worthy to attain that age and the resurrection from the dead, you see, you're counted worthy to attain that age. Being fruitful in every good work, increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power for all patience and long-suffering with joy, and giving thanks to the Father. You are living what you say you believe, and that is counted worthy. Many today in the marketplace, they don't live like that. They say, I'm a Christian. You say, well, what church you go to? I don't go to church. How much you read the Bible? Well, off and on. We should want to read the Bible constantly. I don't get enough time in. I wish I had more. The word worthy has the idea of matching up our actions should match our words. And our outward presentation should match our inward convictions. That's what walking worthy is. To be counted worthy is to have your faith and trust solidly on the rock of what was done at the cross in Jesus paying our sin debt in His blood. Ephesians 2:10. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Created in Christ Jesus for good works. To escape all these things that will come to pass, Jesus is telling us of the things that will happen on earth. He talks earlier about the destruction of the temple, deception, false messiahs, nation against nation, kingdom against kingdom, earthquakes, famines, and persecution. We live through these things today, but yes, they're going to amp up. That's what the Friday night Bible study is talking about in the seals. But he's talking about here the things you're going to escape that are going to come to pass. What is the one thing that we really have? Do we really have to escape an earthquake? There's one thing we need to escape from, and that's the judgment of God. And that's what he's talking about here. The thing they're going to, when I remember when I said that he's going to send his angels out to gather up his elect, everyone that's left is going to be under the judgment of God. And that's when he walks into the kingdom and starts the 1,000-year millennial reign. Jesus paid that price. If you put your faith and trust in Him, it is finished. That part is over. If you are not Christ, you will face what is called the great and terrible day of the Lord, if alive. But if not, it will be the great white throne judgment. People will try to mount a defense for their works. Judgment goes to Jesus, or you could try to do it yourself. Me, I want Jesus. And to stand before the Son of Man. There's always a goal whenever we are looking at things like this. And this is the goal. I want you to imagine this. I want you to put yourself at the feet of Jesus right now. And you are bowing. And you wait for a second. And he says, well done, good and faithful servant. Rise. And Jesus turns and then says this. Luke 12:8. Also I say to you, whoever confesses me before men, him the Son of Man also will confess before the angels of God. So imagine him turning and saying, this is, and put your name in there. It's an amazing picture of what happens when our life matches up with what we believe and we stay focused on where we're headed, watching and praying. So let's review. Luke 21:34, but take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing and drunkenness and the cares of this life, and that day come on you unexpectedly. Take heed to yourselves. Take your inventory. Examine yourself. Is my focus on Jesus? Lest your heart be weighed down with carousing and drunkenness and the cares of this life. Our hearts are deceitful. Jeremiah 17:9, most of you have heard this. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Well, Jesus knows our hearts, and he warns us about them and what it can do. And that day come on us unexpectedly. The day is coming. We cannot stop it, but we can be ready for it. Luke 21:35, for it will come as a snare to all those who dwell on the face of the whole earth. Don't get caught. Everyone is born into sin. Therefore, judgment waits, and none can deliver themselves. Good works won't cut it, and religion will not cut it. But God, full of mercy and grace, made a way when there was no way at the cross. He is our escape. Luke 21:36, watch therefore and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and stand before the Son of Man. Watch and pray go together. Not watching, you won't be praying. Not praying, you won't be watching. Counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass. Counted worthy at the cross. Jesus took the place of sinners, gave his righteousness to those who will put their trust in him. Took all of my unrighteousness on himself. That is the entrance to eternal life. And Jesus said we must be born again. And the inside of us should match what we say and believe. The goal, to stand before the Son of Man. And just imagine crossing that goal. Stay focused on Jesus. Each day, we're a little closer. I hope you take and have heard, and I hope that most of you are already practicing that. But if you feel the need to get a little closer to Jesus, don't be afraid. Watch and pray. Call on his name. He is full of mercy and grace. He does not want to judge us. He wants to find you awake and a good servant when he comes. Dear Heavenly Father, I just give you thanks for the words that you've given us, the warnings, and may we take heed. May we watch ourselves, help others on the way. May we learn from your word. And I pray that you'll be with Pastor Jake and Deanna and Bodie on their way home, that they'll have safe travels, and he'll get back to work and get back up here in the pulpit as he had to take a break. And Lord, I just thank you for all that you have given this day and the words that you've comforted us with. And most of all, I thank you for Jesus and the cross. In your holy name I pray. Amen.